चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami, Kritavan kila karmani saharameṇa keshava atimartyani bhagavan gūḍah kapatamānuṣah. He says that Krishna and Balaram, they appear in the Vrindavan Dham just like ordinary children and perform various human-like activities, bewildering the atheists. Because although they look like human beings, they are the self-same supreme personality of Godhead. Today we are celebrating the appearance of Lord Balaram. Morning when I was speaking about Balaram, so one devotee was asking, how is it that Yashoda is carrying Krishna? Acharyas have explained about the appearance of Lord Krishna that it is true that Balaram was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya potency. And later on, Lord Krishna appears from the Lord Krishna appears in the womb of Devaki and is born in the jail and carried by Vasudev to Gokul. But there is also explanation given by the Acharyas from the Puranic literatures that Krishna is also born at the house of Yashoda and Nanda. So when Vasudev is carrying this child Krishna to Gokul, and then this Krishna merges into the other Krishna. So Yashoda had twins. She also had a girl and a boy together. So Krishna is already born in the house of Yashoda also. So Balaram, as we said in the morning, again I would like to remind that point about how Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master, and he gives the strength to the devotees to assimilate the knowledge given by Krishna and to apply it in one's life. Prabhupada writes in one of his letters, without spiritual strength one cannot approach Krishna. It is not possible. So that spiritual strength is supplied by the line of the Acharyas, and why? By one spiritual master in the heart of the devotee. So by that spiritual strength, then one is able to make progress, swift progress in Krishna consciousness. So there are innumerable pastimes of Balaram, oceanic amount of pastimes. Whatever comes to my mouth by the mercy of Acharyas and the blessings of Vaishnavas, I will try to recollect and repeat. As I said, when Balaram appears, right from the day of his birth, although he looks very charming, very attractive, very beautiful. In fact, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see Prabhupada writes, in one of the translations it appears that Balaram is the beauty incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So he's the most beautiful and he's the most powerful. Yet he remains mute and inactive until Krishna is born. He's just waiting for Krishna to appear in order to perform very playful pastimes along with Krishna. So it is said that Krishna and Balaram in the land of Vrindavan performed so many playful pastimes and giving great joy to the hearts of the Vrajavasis. Like when they were small children crawling in the ground of Vrindavan, sometimes they would capture the tail of the calves. And the calves, as you see, they always frolic around very beautifully. And when they would become frightened, they would frolic around here and there, and the two children would be dragged by the tail of the calf over the rest of Vrindavan. And also the rest of Vrindavan would be mixed with cow dung. So all their body would become smeared with the dust and cow dung of Vrindavan all over. And seeing this beautiful sight, Mother Yashoda would call Rohini and all other elderly covered women to come and see this beautiful sight of how the children are playing in Vrindavan. So just as the devotees have a ardent desire to please Krishna, they have no other desire in their heart. The topmost desire in their heart is to please Krishna. Similarly, Krishna's topmost desire is to please his own devotees. How to see them jubilant, laughing and clapping hands. For their desire, Krishna performs this kind of pastimes in Vrindavan. In this way, when they were small children, they performed many, many playful pastimes. Stealing butter from the houses of the gopis. Balaram was also a partner in that, along with Krishna. So they performed many, many pastimes like this. And as they grow up to a certain stage, when they go from the childhood stage to the Pauganda stage, then they are given the cows and calves to tend to. So all the cowherd men have a very big meeting. In Vrindavan, even when they have a big meeting, the meeting is about how to take care of Krishna and Balaram. So they have a meeting, all the cowherd men with their big turbans and their kundal in their ears, having a very serious meeting, and the meeting is about whether to allow Krishna Balaram to go for tending cows or not. In the Bhagavatam, the verse says, Pashupala Sammatav. Sammatav means sammati or anumati or permission. Some cowherd men have a different opinion. They are a little afraid that Krishna is not very qualified to go for tending to the cows. So there is a conflict between them, whether they can be allowed to go or not. So, of course, Balaram is the one who gives affirmation that there is no problem. Krishna can be given the calves to tend because I am there to protect him. I will take care of him and I will not allow him to go away alone. He won't face any danger. So, in this way, Krishna and Balaram were given the cows and calves to tend and they go with their covered boys. Actually, when the Lord wants to go for tending cows, the main reason is that he wants to play with his covered boyfriends freely all day without any restriction. So taking the herding the cows as the excuse, Lord goes out for tending the cows. And then you will find varieties of demons sent by Kamsa who come to attack Krishna, kill Krishna. And Krishna and Balaram kill one after another so many demons in the forest. And that becomes the talk of the town in Braj. You see, Lord has a Nitya Leela and he has a Naimittika Leela. Nitya Leela means eternal pastimes which go on in the spiritual world, which are all very nectarian, very sweet. So there is no danger involved in the Nitya Leela. It is said in the spiritual world there are no demons. But sometimes there is an abhas of demons. Abhas means sometimes there is a sound. Sometimes in the horizon, you find some sounds of demons. They hear in Vrindavan. Such strange sounds are made possible even in Goloka Vrindavan only for increasing the anxiety of the devotees to help them develop more closer love for Krishna. That's the only reason. Otherwise there are no demons in the spiritual world. But there is a rumor about demons. Sometimes there is a rumor about snake, isn't it? The snake has come. When people keep talking about it, then everyone thinks as if the snake has really come. Similarly, there is a rumor about demons spiritual world. But in the material world, there are actually demons which come in Vrindavan. And Krishna Balaram, they and kill the demons. For example, in the spiritual world, Krishna never leaves Goloka Vrindavan. He always remains with the devotees. But there is a rumor that Krishna might leave. But in the material world, when Krishna comes, Krishna actually leaves to Mathura for performing other duties. So in this way, in the Naimittika Leela means they are occasional pastimes, which are not eternal pastimes, they are occasional. So in the occasional pastimes, there are demons and there is Krishna living Vrindavan and such kind of pastimes. But these pastimes also reveal valuable lessons for the devotees who are progressive devotees in the path of sadhana bhakti. So acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur have given many valuable lessons from the Naimittika Leela of Krishna, where when Krishna kills demons, the acharyas also have taught various lessons which we can learn from those killing of demons. Because sadhaka's heart is infested with varieties of demoniac qualities that engulf the pure devotion, and that does not allow the pure devotion to manifest freely, in a free flow manner, to express one's devotion to Krishna. Sometimes you find we express our devotion and then it becomes choked by some demoniac qualities. Again we try to express some more devotion, again it gets choked up. So there is an inhibition by these demoniac qualities. So each of the demons which appear in the Leela of Krishna and Balaram, they all represent some demoniac quality also. We would like to see one or two such qualities. I will not elaborately tell the pastime of Dhenukasur. Probably Murari Prabhu will elaborate it in the evening. So we know about the Dhenukasur pastime, of how Dhenukasur could not be killed by Krishna because Krishna had given a promise to Bali that I will not kill any of your descendants in future. So in that way Krishna kept the word. He didn't kill Dhenukasur. Dhenukasur comes in the form of an ass in the Talavan forest. As you know, Krishna and Balaram, Krishna is most appreciated by the cowherd boys for his beauty and sweetness. And Balaram is most appreciated by the cowherd boys for his strength. So in this way, one day when Krishna and Balaram were with the cowherd boys, the cowherd boys wanted to taste the tal fruits. So based on the request, they went to the forest and Balaram provided them the fruits by shaking the tree. And when Dhenukasur came, it was Balaram who killed Dhenukasur, not Krishna, by picking up Dhenukasur by the hind legs and whirling him and throwing him at the top of the trees. So here we find Dhenukasur had a great anger over Balaram and the cowherd boys. How dare they entered into the arena of the tall trees, his own area, because it is Kamsa's forest and we are protecting it. So Dhenukasur represents gross ignorance and subtle ignorance, both. What is the ignorance? It is called as Brahma, Vibrahma or Brahma. Brahma of one's identity, who I am, one's spiritual identity. And it also represents the ignorance of whom to worship and whom not to worship. It is also ignorance of oneself and ignorance of the worshipable object. It is also ignorance of one's soul and body, often identifying with one's own body. So this kind of identification with the one's body makes one foolish in behavior. In fact, Vedavyasa says in Mahabharata, there are two things that are the most powerful agents that lead to bondage. Aham and Mama, he says. I and mine. And again he says, there are two things which lead you to liberation. That is, he says, na aham, na mama, or nirmama. Yes. Nirmamo, nirahankara. These two things, he says, they lead to liberation. So, Dhenukasur represents the mamata, or proprietorship. That also leads to ignorance, foolishness. So when a devotee is progressing in Krishna consciousness, this gross ignorance, which is like the Dainikasura, occupies the heart of the devotee and does not allow one to taste the fruits of Krishna prema. That all fruits are compared to the Krishna prema. So we want to relish, enjoy the fruits of Krishna prema. We want to feel ecstatic love for Krishna. But we find that the Dainikasura doesn't permit us. That comes as an inhibition. And he's got many companions also, many assistants, and all of them drive us out. They don't allow us. But we need the help of Lord Balaram here, who can uproot our proprietorship tendency from our heart and bring us to the point of realizing that nothing in this world belongs to me. Everything belongs to Krishna. I don't own anything. What is because everything belongs to Krishna? I myself is owned by Krishna. I myself belong to Krishna. My very body, my mind. Manasa deho geho yokichimor arpilatu apadananda kishor. Getting this realization. Becoming free from the false identification. That is made possible by Balaram. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that it's not that Balaram will do it for you. We have to do it ourselves. But by one sincere endeavor, one can get the help of Balaram, he says. By one's strenuous effort and prayer, one can gain that help from Balaram, by which one sadhaka has to oneself uproot these things. So he explains all these demoniac qualities in our heart, we only have to remove by detecting them ourselves by strenuous endeavor, but with the mercy of Balaram. Like that he explains. So Balaram also represents the spiritual master who gives the mercy to the disciple. When the spiritual master is very pleased with the efforts of the disciple, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, then the bhagavat prasad comes in the life of the disciple. And then the disciple is able to very swiftly work through these anarthas and destroy the dark ignorance in the heart. And then one is able to progress towards Krishna very easily, more smoothly. In this way, Krishna Balaram, they kill many demons. There is also another day when the cowherd boys and Krishna, they were playing. Many times, Krishna Balaram, and they would be playing, Krishna Balaram would be wearing even the ankle bells, which would be ringing very sweetly when they would dance. Pleasure of their covered friends. Sometimes they both would play the flutes. Sometimes both would dance. And sometimes when Krishna would get very tired, he would lie down on the lap of Balaram, or he would lie on a tree root, or he would lie on the lap of a covered boy and Balaram would massage his feet. In this way, they would be playing every day different types of games. Sometimes they, Krishna and Balaram would cover themselves like a with a blanket, like two bulls, and they would be hitting each other like two bulls, and all the covered boys would have fun saying that. In this way, they would play many games every day, different games, and many of these games have also come to the material world amongst the people. Like they would play this ice boy game, you know, ice boy, like somebody closes your eyes and all the boys go and hide somewhere, and then they open your eyes. Now you have to go and search, correct? How many of you have played this? Practically all of us, right? So they would play this kind of games. They would every day they would have so many new games. So one day when they were playing games like this, some people became, there were two sides. There was Krishna's party and Balaram's party. So two parties. And whichever party would win, the other party would have to carry them on their backs. That was the game. So inconceivably, a demon entered into this game in the form of a covered boy. On that particular day, one covered boy was not there. He had not come to play with others. So this asura, Pralambasura, he assumed the form of a covered boy and he entered into the group of covered boys. You see, sometimes in the heart of a devotee, so many good qualities are produced. Like Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvai Gunais Tatra Samasate Sura. It is said. All the godly qualities manifest in the body of a devotee. But while these wonderful qualities are manifesting, sometimes there are some dangerous qualities also which get mixed up with the wonderful qualities and they also manifest. And a devotee may fail to recognize that. Like, you know, there is a quality called as Tarangarangini. Tarangarangini means the material facilities, you know, that come in the life of a devotee. In the form of profit, adoration and distinction, worship by other people. And also the facilities that are awarded to the devotee. And a devotee may sometimes unknowingly start becoming extravagant, utilizing them for one's own pleasure rather than using it for Krishna's pleasure. Like we, you know, we are now abundantly, profusely supplying prasad for cultivating the well-wishers. So instead of cultivating well-wishers, a devotee may be supplying prasad to oneself more and more, what is supposed to be given to others. In the same manner, sometimes when one grows in Krishna consciousness, one unknowingly starts becoming luxurious sometimes. Sometimes one starts using very costly cars. One starts living in a very posh atmosphere. So one has to know that devotee is supposed to live a very simple life. Like we go to stay in some places, they give us very soft, very thick cushion beds, which is not meant for devotees, especially brahmacharis. It's not meant for them. So one is not supposed to use, one should wind it up and keep it in the side, sleep on chatai, which is one standard. So then we can know that even when facilities are awarded, one should not accept them. Like, you know, when I had gone to Mayapur Yatra, I think one of the Mayapur Yatras, they were giving a big feast. That feast was, I think, about 40 rupees per plate or something. 40 or 50 rupees per plate in those days. You can imagine, they were giving a huge plate of prasad. And they were giving each devotee three sweets. There was, I think, what is it, dahi? They make mishti dahi, I think. Mishti dahi, and they gave a big, you know, some cake kind of thing, sweet, and another sweet rice. So next to me was Shukadeva Maharaj sitting, and I was making a comment to Maharaj. Maharaj, just see, this prasad is so opulent. You know, they are giving three sweets, you know, I was telling. And then Maharaj understood, you know, my mind. Although I was saying they are giving three sweets and I was eating all of them. And Maharaj was saying, yeah, they are giving three sweets, but you don't have to eat all the three. You can give it to somebody else. See, these are dry sweets, you can keep with you and give it to some beggars on his side. So, even when abundant opulence is awarded, a devotee doesn't become extravagant. Devotee should not become extravagant. So this extravagance can enter into the heart of a devotee exactly like Pralambasura entered into the group of covered boys, looking like yet another covered boy, like that. So when Krishna noticed Pralambasura, he understood this is not a covered boy. Krishna can clearly see. And Pralambasura thought, I cannot kill both these guys, Krishna and Balaram, together. They are powerful people. First I will finish Balaram and then I will kill Krishna. That was his plan. He made the plan. And then he was on the opposite side to Balaram. He was on Krishna's side. Just like there was Bhadrasena who was on the Balaram side. When he lost, he carried Vrishabha. And Shridama, he carried Krishna on his back. And Balaram was carried by this Pralambasura, who was looking like a covered boy. When he carried him on the back, they all are supposed to go in the forest up to a tree. There's a particular tree called as Bandiraka tree. They are supposed to carry from here up to the tree and then leave them there. But instead of leaving them there, this Pralambasura started carrying even ahead of the tree. And he was running into the forest. And Pralambasura showed, when Pralambasura was running like this, Balaram became anxious. He became fearful, it is said. How can Balaram become fearful? His face appeared to be anxious. So it is said, in order to not spoil the mood of the rasa, so that all the covered boys can enjoy the mood of Balaram, Balaram showed such symptoms of anxiety. And Balaram was also thinking in his mind, Now I am being carried by an asura. Now he understood he is an asura. But how many more asuras will be playing with Krishna? And what will happen to my dear Krishna? Who will protect him? Thinking like this, Balaram got into a state of anxiety. And also Balaram was in anxiety, thinking whether he should kill him or not. Kill that asura or not. In the meantime, the asura started growing in size, bigger and bigger. Like a huge black monster. And there were ornaments in his body made of gold and silver, which were all shining. And also his teeth was pure white. So that was looking like lightning. In a carbon black paper, if you put a white strip, looked like lightning. And his eyes were red like coppery balls. And all the hair on his head were also like copper wire. And Balaram was sitting on his shoulder. And Balaram looked like a full moon, like a Purna Chandra. He looked very beautiful. So, after he carried him some distance, seeing his huge size, Balaram now decided, now I should kill him. And with his fist, he pounded him on his head very firmly, very strongly. And the skull broke and the Pralambasura demon came dashing to the ground. He fell on the ground dead. Balaramji ki! And in this way, Balaram destroyed Pralambasura, smashed him to dust. In the same manner, the Guru also destroys the extravagance in the life of the disciple. Just see how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was very satisfied with hearing the news that Sanatana Goswami is going for Madhukari, he is not accepting the opulent food and all that. And Sanatana Goswami rejected the dhoti clothes given by Chandrasekhar Acharya. He rejected when it was given by, who was the other one who gave him? Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra also gave him dhoti kurta. He rejected all that. He said, I don't want all this. Just give me an old dhoti. And then he took a old dhoti and tore it into three pieces. He wore it, one as a loin cloth, kopin, and one for the upper garment. That's all he used. But then Lord Chaitanya noticed that Sanatana has got a blanket, a costly blanket, given by his brother-in-law Srikant. And Mahaprabhu was staring at it again and again. And Sanatana Goswami understood that Mahaprabhu doesn't like me carrying this opulent garment, opulent blanket. So when he went to the in the river side of Ganges side, and he saw there was one very old beggar who was washing the clothes, and he had some torn quilt. He told him, you take this blanket and give me that torn quilt. And beggar thought he was joking. Sanatana said, no, I am speaking the truth. Take this, give me the torn quilt. And he accepted it and returned back. When Mahaprabhu saw that Sanatana has renounced that costly blanket, Mahaprabhu became very happy. The last shred of material attachment has been given up by Sanatana. Thinking that, Lord Chaitanya became very happy. So, in the same manner, Guru becomes very happy to see a disciple leading a very simple life and not an extravagant life. So extravagance is not only in terms of eating and using clothes and increasing the facilities and luxuries in one's life. Extravagance also is in learning. One should not become a pandita without becoming a bhakta. One should not simply become a learned person with a lot of knowledge from various Puranas and scriptures, reading more and more books and scriptures, developing one's panditya without developing one's bhakti bhavana in the heart. And that is compared to a donkey carrying a huge load on his back. That kind of learning. That is also like this Pralambasura, which is extravagance. So for every bit of learning one does, one should also evolve in one's consciousness, evolve in one's devotion to Krishna also. In this way, Krishna and Balaram, they killed many demons. It is said, one day, when Krishna and Balaram were playing together with the cowherd boys, Balaram got a desire that, Krishna, I also want to play on your flute. And today, let me exactly dressed like yourself. And Krishna very happily gave away his peacock feather and he gave his flute to Balaram to play. And Balaram dressed up exactly like Krishna and he was playing. At that time, a particular demon came called Keshi in the form of a huge horse. So Keshi did not know who Krishna was. So he asked Kamsa, how does Krishna look like? How do I find him out? And Kamsa said, it's very easy. When you go to Vrindavan, there are easy lakshanas with which you can identify Krishna. Krishna means one who wears peacock feather and he plays on a flute. That's the only person who does it in Vrindavan. So you can very easily find him out and kill him. And the Keshi came to Vrindavan in the form of a huge horse, making a bellowing sound, huge sound. So as soon as he entered Vrindavan, the first person he found was Balaramji, wearing a peacock feather, playing on his flute. And immediately giving a loud shout, Keshi came and hit him on his chest very strongly with his hind legs. And Balaram, with his mighty blow, he tumbled and got tossed and went and fell at the feet of his mother Rohini, and he hardly could breathe. He got up and laid in the hands of Rohini and he went to sleep. And when he got up, he removed his peacock feather and flute and went to Krishna weeping. He said, Krishna, enough of this imitation, you keep with yourself. And he gave the flute back and this back. Of course, Krishna tightened his belt, waist belt, and he fitted the flute there. And he wore his peacock feather and he came out. And Keshi was still there searching for Krishna again. Where did I throw him out? And when Krishna saw Keshi in front of him, of course, Krishna took his legs and whirled him and threw him at a distance. And again Keshi came back running towards Krishna. And Krishna put his left hand into Keshi's mouth and started expanding the left hand. It was like a hot rod which was inserted into the mouth of Keshi. And Keshi was revolving round and round and he was stumbling and he wanted to get out. He couldn't. And his eyes bulged out and he couldn't breathe. And losing all his breath, Keshi fell down dead to the ground. Now, why does Balaram play this type of role? Anything that Lord or his devotees do, that has a very great significance. It is either for increasing the ecstasy of the devotees, or for increasing the pleasure of the Lord, or for teaching some valuable lessons to devotees. Balaram wants to show in this pastime that one should never imitate Krishna. Even he doesn't imitate Krishna. And if one tries to imitate him, then one will only suffer in one's life. Don't imitate Krishna. Don't try to become Krishna. Be what you are. You are a tiny part. Part is a part and whole is a whole. So Jiva can never become God. And we should never try to imitate the Lord by... Like there are... I heard that there is one very famous speaker in television who appears in TV and who is a very famous guru in India. Lakhs of people attend his programs. And he gives big lectures. And once he openly told his woman disciples, there is a picture in which he is sitting under a tree with a mukut and a flute, along with his beard and mustache also. And he is sitting with his, so many of his women disciples and he is telling all of them, the Lord who came in Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga as Ram, and the Lord who came in Dwapara Yuga as Krishna, and I am the same Lord. Krishna here with all of you. So he was telling them, and this is recorded actually, it's video recorded, you can imagine. And seeing him, so many of the other people became disgusted. So many other men, and they used to attend his programs and they left. So there are many so-called gurus, so-called people who claim to be Krishna themselves. First they claim to be servant of Krishna and they preach. When they become very famous, they come to a point where they say, I am Krishna myself and you are the gopis, I am Krishna, we will enjoy. Like this. So Balaram comes to teach lessons to such people. There is another pastime also of Duvida Gorilla, which Balaram kills. The same thing he teaches, same lesson. Balaram kills that Duvida Gorilla very, very powerfully with his mighty blow. in the collarbone with one head. This Dvija gorilla, how he was trying to enjoy the gopis. Actually, Krishna and Balaram, they were in the Raivata mountains, walking by the side along with the gopis. They were singing. And it was a very, very beautiful atmosphere. All the gopis were singing, Krishna and Balaram were singing, and they were passing. And this Dvija gorilla, seeing the beautiful gopis, he thought, oh, let me enjoy them. Let me kill this Krishna Balaram and let me enjoy these gopis. That was his plan. So first he thought, before doing that, let me attract the gopis, he thought. So he started from a long distance away. He was in the trees and he started coming, jumping and coming and closer to the trees nearby. And he came to a very close tree and started making, killa, killa, killa. He started making sound loudly. And immediately the gopis were distracted from the song. They looked up and they saw this gorilla, Dvija gorilla. And hearing the sound, they started laughing. Just like any young girls, when they see this kind of fun, they just laugh. So, but seeing that, the gorilla thought, they are actually happy by my behavior. He thought like that. And he started exposing different parts of his body. Just like sometimes you find this boys in the college, they perform a discotheque dance. Wearing tight jeans and moving different parts of their body in awkward ways, peculiar ways. In order to attract the girls in the college. You'll see that, right? And you know, when the disco is going on, maybe some girls are clapping hands, some boys are clapping hands. And they would be twisting their body even more. Exactly like the Dvija gorilla. So this is enjoying mentality. And they are thinking, we are great heroes. Now they are twisting and turning their body. When they become old, they will be carrying a stick, twisting their body. That time they have to really bend their body. Now they are artificially bending. Isn't it? Doing break dances. When they get old, their really body will break. Pieces. So this is enjoying mentality. So Dvija was thinking in his heart that these girls are attracted by my beauty. These gopis. That's what they were thinking. That was thinking. Just see the irony. They were laughing, ridiculing him. But what was he thinking? They are thinking that I am very beautiful, I am very attractive. So, when Krishna Balaram saw Dvija gorilla, gradually he started coming nearer and nearer, making sounds like this. And then he started catching the dresses of the gopis and started pulling it. Started pulling the dresses. And he also started pulling Balaram's dress. Started tearing it. So now Balaram thought, now it's too much now. Now we have tolerated enough now. And then a fight ensued between them. Very strong fight. And Dvija gorilla was also very powerful. He started uprooting the trees and throwing at Balaram. And Balaram, without any effort, would take his plough and cut them into pieces. Small, small sticks and throw them away. Simply with his mighty plough. And all the trees in that locality got uprooted and they all got destroyed. There was nothing practically. Then Dvija gorilla started taking the big, big boulders and started throwing at Balaram. Balaram would, render them into powder. At last, when Dvija found there was nothing to use, then he started using his fist to fight with the fist fight. At last, Balaram gave a big blow on his collar bones. Pat! When he gave that blow, Dvija gorilla started vomiting blood continuously from his mouth and ears and all over his body. Exactly like a volcanic mountain, spitting out lava. In the same manner, Dvija gorilla vomiting blood, he fell down to the ground, dropping dead. Balaram ji ki! Yeah. Krishna Balaram ki! Yeah. So they kill varieties of demons like this. And teaching us also very valuable lessons that we should give up this enjoying mentality in our lives. So when Balaram grows to youth, in youth also he performs many, many beyond, many, many wonderful pastimes. Like we find one very strange behavior in Balaram, certain strange behavior, which may be bewildering to the minds of devotees. Like Balaram is called as the Duryodhan Guru. But Jiva Goswami explains in the Priti Sandarbha, a quote where he says the apparent affection shown by Rukmini to Rukmi and Balaram to Duryodhana is only due to the Leela Shakti potency of the Lord in order to increase the sweetness of Lord's pastimes. That is why. Otherwise, this affection is not, it's not that Lord is siding with Adharma. In order to increase the beauty of the pastimes. There are many pastimes like that we can talk about Balaram. Like for example, when Krishna wanted to see Arjuna marrying Subhadra, he wanted Subhadra to be married to Arjuna. But Balaram had a different plan. He had a plan that Duryodhana will marry Subhadra. But Subhadra also did not want to marry Duryodhana. But Balaram already had decided in his mind. So the Subhadra was wondering what to do. I don't want to marry this fellow. How can I, you know, in those days, you know, sons and daughters, they would not even have a verbal battle with the parents. What to speak of a physical fight? They won't even have a verbal battle. They won't even have a verbal abuse. They won't do. So Subhadra didn't know what to do. But Krishna made a very intelligent plan. He told Arjuna, you come like a, dressed like a mendicant. He dressed like a mendicant. And he came to the house of Balaram, to the palace of Balaram. And Balaram was very fond of serving the sadhus. So Arjuna was also very looking like a very nice sadhu. And he told, Balaram told Subhadra, bring all delicious preparations and let us serve this sadhu. And both brother and sister, they were serving sadhu very nicely. So Arjuna was simply following the order of Krishna. Krishna told him, if you do what I tell you, you will get Subhadra. They want you to marry her. So Subhadra also came and Subhadra saw Arjuna and as soon as she saw him, immediately she fell in love with him. And then intuitively she understood, this is Arjuna. And Arjuna also saw her. And eventually when marriage was to be done between these both these people, then Balaram became very angry. And Krishna knew how to adjust the situation. He fell at the feet of Balaram. I told Balaram, please, do not worry. It was my plan only. He is not a cheater. So I only wanted him to marry Subhadra. Please kindly permit him. Krishna is very, very intelligent. He knows when to act how. So he could pacify Balaram. So now Balaram becomes angry at Arjuna. He wanted to kill Arjuna that you are cheating like this. But ultimately Krishna pacifies him. This kind of apparent anger also is made possible by the Leela Shakti to increase the sweetness of the pastime. Or you find, as soon as there is a war between Pandavas and Kauravas, you know, immediately what does Balaram do? Balaram knows, Krishna is on Pandava's side and I don't want to oppose him. I don't want to be against my brother's wish. So what did he do? He went on a pilgrimage. He didn't take any sides. But at the end of the pilgrimage, when he returned back, he came to know that Bhima killed Duryodhana by beating him on the thighs. Balaram became very angry. He rushed to kill Bhima. And again Krishna pacified him. Krishna told him, no, please don't kill Bhima. I only gave him the idea how to kill. Then Balaram couldn't do anything. So in this way, you find a very special behavior in Balaram. In psychology, they call it as a split personality. When one person, like, you know, one person decides to do something and he just does the opposite afterwards. He says, I will do it, and he doesn't do it. You know what's a split personality? Sometimes people have this problem of split personality. Like, for example, they will exactly do opposite to what you are telling them. You tell them, please keep the glass on the top, and they'll take the glass and keep it down. You know, exactly, they'll do the opposite. If you tell them, please sit in my bike behind, they will sit in the front. Can you imagine? And if they are taking a rifle in their hand, you say, please don't shoot me, they will shoot you. So they will just do the opposite. Because their mind works exactly the opposite. They decide to do one thing and just they do the opposite. Split personality. Split personalities. But here we find Krishna and Balaram, they are the same person, but in two different bodies. Krishna and Balaram. Prabhupada says there is no difference between them. Krishna and Balaram are the same persons, but expanded as Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is their color, he says. And also the bhava, the mood. the serving mood of Balaram. Like for example, Balaram's serving mood is so great that in Vrindavan he expands us all the paraphernalia of Vrindavan, everything, including the land of Vrindavan. So much so that Balaram makes the Vrindavan expand and contract according to the desire of Krishna. Like if you see the Nandagam, the Nandagam and the Vamshivat, if you measure the distance, it is 37 kilometers. But Balaram contracts it in such a way that Krishna is able to very easily, quickly return in the evening and go to Vamshivat very easily. Because it's like a lotus flower that expands and contracts. And Balaram makes it possible. It is said, one day Sanatana Goswami, you know, he went for circumambulating the Govardhan Hill. In one day he covered 108 kilometers. Can you imagine? Can anybody walk 108 kilometers in one day? And in the afternoon he returned back to worship the Madan Mohan deity, Sanatana Goswami. So Balaram made that possible by contracting the dham. He contracts the dham and he expands the dham. Can do like that. So in this way Balaram serves Krishna by expanding as all the paraphernalia of the dham. And also he serves Krishna in every rasa practically. Like for example, he serves Krishna as a servant. He serves Krishna in the vatsalya bhava also, in the parental mood also. Like one day when Balaram was with the covered boys, he told them, sent a message to Krishna, tell Krishna that he should not go out today. He should remain at home. Because me and Ashoda, we will take him to Yamuna and we will bathe him. Today is his birthday. Krishna Janmashtami. So he is in that mood of a parent also. In Vrindavan you find Krishna Balaram deity. Balaram is putting his hand on Krishna's shoulder, showing the domination. What is the domination? It's a loving domination. By this posture, Balaram is showing to Yashoda and Nanda, please be confident that Krishna is under my control and he will not run away anywhere in the forest. He will safely come back in the evening. So he keeps his hand on Krishna's shoulder. In this way, he also serves Krishna in the Vatsalya Ras. And when Balaram wants to serve in the Madhurya Ras, he cannot enter into the Rasa dance. It will be a Rasabhas, isn't it? If Balaram enters, imagine, Krishna is dancing with the gopis and Krishna, Balaram enters there to serve him there. He can't serve. It is said in Vrindavan, when Srimati Radharani is walking, some small golden ornaments drop on the way. So whichever way Radharani goes, you will find the golden ornaments dropped on the midway. Anybody can know that Radharani has gone through this way. So when Balaram would see that, then he would not follow that route. He would take another direction. Similarly, when Radharani would come, when she sees crystals dropped on the way, white crystals, all over the route, then she will not come in that path because she knows all covered boys will be there, headed by Balaram, with Krishna. So she will not go in that direction. Because these are two different type of rasas in which Krishna reciprocates. So the gopis will not interfere with covered boys' pastimes. The covered boys will not interfere with Krishna and the gopis' pastimes like that. So in order to serve Krishna in that mood of being a gopi, Balaram expands himself as Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari, her complexion is of the Ketaki flower. You seen a Ketaki flower? Very fragrant flower. The color of the dress he wears is like a blue lotus. Ananga Manjari serves, she is very close to Lalita and Vishakha Sakis. And same Balaram serves Krishna as Ananga Manjari. He assists Radharani. She becomes a younger sister of Radharani. And then he can enter into those pastimes also. He can enter into the pastimes of Krishna in the Madhurya Ras, Madhurya Bhav also. And also, we find Balaram's tattva. Balaram always angry and wild in many situations. So sometimes one may wonder, why does the Lord become so angry? Like you find, you know, once when Balaram was invited by the sister, by the brother of Rukmini, Rukmi, So once Balaram and his brother-in-law Rukmi, they were playing the chess match. And there was also king of Kalinga, who also joined in the side of Rukmi. Actually, it was a plot made by king of Kalinga and Rukmi. They knew that Balaram is not so good in playing chess. But Rukmi was very great expert. So they wanted to tease Krishna and Balaram. They wanted to make some fun out of them. So keeping that in mind, they called them, come, let's play chess. First they put some 100 gold coins, Balaram kept. And Balaram lost the match. They won. And then second time, they put 1,000 gold coins. So this time, when they put 1,000 gold coins, Balaram won. And next time, again Balaram kept 100,000 gold coins. That time also Balaram won. But Rukmi and Kalinga, king of Kalinga, they both were arguing, that, no, you didn't win. You didn't win. We only won, they were saying. And even in the Akashwani, there was sound that Balaram won the match. And everyone clapped hands. But these two guys were not agreeing. So Balaram immediately took his plow and knocked him on his head and struck him to death, Rukmi. And there was also king of Kalinga who was trying to escape from there. And Balaram caught hold of him. Are you are always showing your teeth and laughing every time during the match. And he gave him a blow and breaking all his teeth to powder. And all the others in the neighborhood who are all assistants of Rukmi, Balaram took his plow and broke their hands and legs to pieces. So you will find Balaram appears in this world just like Lord says, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashayacha Dushkritam. So the Dushkritis, they always have a mischievous mentality. To the extent that they even try to tease the Lord or try to misbehave with the Lord also. Like you find that Paundraka imitating Vasudeva, and that Krishna kills him, isn't it? So you find the demons, their mischievous nature extends even up to the point of trying to misbehave with the Lord. So Balaram teaches very thorough lessons for many, many demons like that. Either demons or those who exhibit demoniac qualities, both. Like we find, when once Romaharshana was giving a lecture to thousands of sages, if you read that section, you'll be amazed in Bhagavatam. It says, Romaharshana was highly learned in all the Vedic literatures. He was highly learned, thoroughly learned. Even after being so highly learned, he was not free from false pride. So, he was sitting on an elevated asana. When Balaram appeared in the assembly, immediately everyone bowed down to him. But here we find Romaharshana sitting on the asana. And although he observed Lord Balaram entering that area, he never even stood up. He never even bowed down. So Balaram immediately took a small grass and touched Romaharshana. And on the spot, Romaharshana died. Immediately all the sages and saints and brahmanas, alas, alas, they were all shouting, what have you done, oh great Balaramji? In fact, we have taken a vow, 1,000 years he is going to speak on Bhagavat Katha. Now we have lost the speaker. So it's a great disservice. And Balaram heard it, he told them, don't worry, if you want I can bring him back to life immediately. And they said, no, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever you do must be perfect. And we don't want you to bring him back to life, because then it will be like we disobeying you and demanding something unbefitting you. They said, we don't want that. You just bless his son, Sutta. You bless him that he can be empowered to speak Bhagavatam in the father's place. They requested him. And he immediately blessed him. And they also said, we also would request you that you help us to become free from this great demon Balavala. There was one demon called Balaval. So the Balaval would be flying in the sky all the time and creating a lot of trouble to the sages and saints. So they requested Balaram to kill him, and Balaram immediately took his plow, and wherever he was flying, he hooked him and brought him to the ground level and knocked him and killed him. And the sages said, you also travel to all the holy places and the holy waters in order to set an example for others. Although you are the Supreme Lord, you are free from any offense. still to set an example you do this. And Lord Balaram obliged. Now you see, you can make a parallel comparison between Lord Balaram entering the arena and Daksha Prajapati entering sacrificial arena in Bhagavatam. Now when Daksha Prajapati is entering the sacrificial arena, all are standing up and only Lord Shiva is not standing up. Shiva and Brahma. And Daksha Prajapati becomes very angry out of false pride. And he starts blaspheming Lord Shiva, calling him, saying that, I gave my daughter who has got eyes like a doe, and I gave you to you in marriage, and you are like having the eyes of an owl, he said. And my daughter comes from such a glorious family, and you are so inauspicious, wearing all this basma all over your body, wearing snakes around your neck. I gave my daughter in marriage to you only on the word of Brahma. Otherwise, I would not have given. And this way started blaspheming Lord Shiva like anything. And then the pastime goes on. And Nandi became very wild because Nandi is servant of Shiva. Then he retaliated back. And then the Brahmana spoke and it went on like that. But later on you find Daksha Prajapati, he gets a goat's head at the end of the yajna. Why? Because of offending Lord Shiva. You find like that. Now if you see, here Balaramji is entering the arena here, and all are offering obeisances, and Romaharshana is not offering obeisance. And Balaram becomes angry. And this anger is transcendental anger. It is not mundane anger, like the anger of Daksha Prajapati. Why? Because there is another pastime which comes in Ramayana. Once Lord Rama comes to know that in his kingdom there is a Shudra who is studying scripture and performing severe penances to ascend to heaven, to elevate himself to heaven. And that is the reason why there is inauspiciousness and many people are suffering. He comes to know that. And he asks from the sages and saints, and he knows the place, and he goes there and he finds out where the Shudra is doing, and he goes and kills him. And this pastime is all the time spoken by the Dalit people, the Dalits or the Ambedkar people. They say this pastime and say, see, he killed the Shudra, Lord Ram. So we will burn the Vedas, we will burn Ramayana, and they do all that. But if you very carefully understand this pastime, you will know Lord Rama saw that the Shudra was trying to perform some penances. He was standing upside down. He was performing severe penances, and a lot of people were coming and watching it. So there are many people who pose themselves as if they know the Shastra, and they are following the Shastra, but they are poor, cheap imitators of what is said in the Shastra. So a Shudra, for example, may imitate the Shastra for some time, and he will also indulge in adultery and indulge in wrong behavior, misbehavior, at the same time, which sets a wrong premise for all the other people in the society. Just like, after Lord Rishabhadev, there was a king called as Konkan Venka, Venka king, who was a Konkan king, who started imitating Lord Rishabhadev by not taking bath, by not wearing any dress and all that, because of which the Jain religion came about later on. There were also people who were nude, which came. So in this way, one person sets a wrong premise and all other people in society imitate, and in this way the whole world becomes irreligious. So keeping this in mind, Lord Ram killed that Shudra. Lord Ram did not want to allow him to continue his so-called austerities and penances. Because that will become a wrong example for the society. That's why he killed them. Just like, Dronacharya asked for the thumb from Ekalavya. Same reason. In the same way, Lord Balaram also, when he saw, here is a person who is highly learned, it is like, Manina Bhushita Sarpa Kimma Sauna Bhayankaraha. It is said in the shloka, that if there is a serpent on the head of which there is a very beautiful money, costly money, a Kohinoor diamond, it is very dangerous. Why? Because a diamond is very wonderful, but if it is on the hood of a serpent, it is very dangerous. Why? Because you become very attracted to it. You want the diamond, but as soon as you slowly extend your hand to pick up the diamond, immediately the serpent will sting you and you will die. At the same time, you will have attraction also. That's a problem. You cannot give it up also. When you see the money, you become attracted. You want it. In the same way, if there is a very greatly learned pandita, learned scholar, but if he is a mayavadi, it's very, very dangerous. Because he will feed the poison of mayavad into the hearts of people. Or if there is a very greatly learned pandita, he is a Vaishnava devotee, but he is very proud. So his teaching is, his or her teaching is useless. If anyone, man or woman, if they are very learned, highly learned, they may be very proud of their knowledge. I know so much. And they may have a dominating mentality on others. And they may be thinking of themselves very high. Then that knowledge also becomes tainted with that false pride. It will not sink into the hearts of the devotees and help them to awaken the Krishna consciousness. Not only that, one proud person will produce many proud persons. Just like when Hiranyakashipu was killed, Lord Narasimhadev did not allow even one drop of blood to fall on the ground, it is said. Why? Because from each drop of blood, many, many more demons can arise. In the same manner, it is said, one proud preacher will also produce many proud people. Because the preacher has a tremendous influence on those who are preached by them. You will see that to the degree those who are preached by a preacher take shelter of the preacher, to that degree they imbibe the same qualities of the preacher. Of course, the point of taking shelter is very important. If the people who are preached are not taking shelter, then they won't get the qualities. But if they take his shelter, which means they give their heart to the preacher, then they will also get those qualities. Yeah. In the same manner, the good qualities also will come. If the preacher is very humble, then those who are preached, if they take shelter of that preacher, then they will also become humble. But sometimes you find a guru is very humble, but the disciple is very proud. Why? Because the disciple is not taking shelter of the guru. Or sometimes Vaishnava is very proud, but his follower is very humble. Why? That means the follower is not taking shelter of that Vaishnava. He is learning humility from somewhere else. He is taking shelter of someone else. He is getting it like that. But in general it is seen, anybody who is preaching gives a shelter to others, in general. So that way it's very dangerous. Romahashana Sutta was giving shelter to so many people in that sabha, and they were all very faithfully hearing him. If they're faithfully hearing, means they're giving their heart to him. So then Balaramji thought, oh, it's very dangerous. He's so proud. He doesn't know how to behave. If he doesn't know, he knows big knowledge, but he's not putting that knowledge into action. He doesn't have the humble behavior. So Balaramji thought he should teach a good lesson about aparadha. Then he taught that lesson. And we also can learn from this pastime, Balaram is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can take away life because he can also give life back. And he had the ability also. He told all the sages, right? You want him to be alive? I'll give you life back. But they said, no, we don't want. But he had the power to give back the life. That's why the anger of Balaram should never be thought of to be mundane anger. It is transcendental anger. Similarly, there is another instance where when Balaramji comes to know that Krishna's son Samba wanted to marry Lakshmana, who is in the Kuru race. So the Kauravas were not ready to give Lakshmana in marriage. So it was an Asura Vivah. So Samba defeated all the other kings and took Lakshmana and fled from there, while the other people chased after him and they caught him and they made him a captive. And then they kept Lakshmana with themselves. They were not ready to marry her to Samba. When Balaramji came to know this, he became very angry. And Balaramji thought that there is no difficulty because Duryodhana has complete trust in me, faith in me. I will go and tell him and immediately marriage will be done. So as soon as he went to the frontiers of Hastinapur, he did not enter inside. He just stayed in a place outside and he sent a news that Balaramji has come. He wants to see that the marriage is peacefully settled. You know, what is the difficulty? We are Yadu Kula, we are from Yadukul, you are from Kurus, and we both are glorious dynasties. What is the problem in marrying a boy and girl from such a royal races? What's the problem? So, settle it very peacefully. Like that he sent a message. But the Guru sent a message in return saying that how can the chappals ever desire to climb on the head? So they were calling the Yadukula people as chappals, as sandals. And they were calling themselves as head. So they were sending a message like that. When Balaramji came to know that, he became angry. His eyes became red. His lips started quivering. His whole body started shaking and the earth started trembling, and Balaramji took his plough and struck it in the Hastinapur land and picked up the whole Hastinapur city above the ground level. And he was about to throw it into Yamuna. And in the meantime, all the Kaurava kings, everyone came running there, keeping Lakshmana in the front. So here is Lakshmana, we are giving in marriage, please take her, please take her. We want to see that the marriage happens. So Balaramji, they started glorifying him with wonderful prayers, offering obeisances. Actually, it is said that this pastime of Lord Balaram lifting the Hastinapur and throwing it into the river, it was made possible by the Kauravas, by Duryodhana and others, simply to glorify the power of Lord Balaram. That was their intention. They didn't want to insult Krishna or the Yadus or anyone. They wanted to show the world the power of Balaram's might, Balaram's greatness. Sometimes a devotee does like this with the Lord, and Lord does with the devotees also like that. Some pastimes like that we find. So in this way, Balaramji performs innumerable pastimes. And one should never commit a mistake of thinking that Balaram is proud or Balaram is, angry. Because if one doesn't understand Balaram, then one cannot approach the Lord, Lord Krishna. It's not possible. Like often, people try to circumvent Balaram and go to Krishna directly. Or people try to circumvent Lakshman and go to Ram directly. If someone offends Lakshman, then one will have difficulty getting Ram. You see, Mother Sita suspected Lakshmana in the forest when Maricha was shouting, "Hey Sita, hey Lakshman," when he was shouting. Lakshman said, "Nothing will happen to my Lord. This is simply a trick of some devil. Nothing will happen to my Lord. I am very confident. My dear mother, please do not worry." But Sita said, "No, no, no, you have to go. I can hear his sound, he's crying." So you see, Lakshman was very confident that it is not Ram's voice, it is Maricha's voice. But still, Sita was telling, "Why are you not going?" She started weeping and crying, and then she started shouting, "It seems that you have come to forest only so that let Ram die and you can enjoy me." This was too much for Lakshman. He said, "It is my Lord's order that I should give you protection. I should not leave you behind. Now if I go leaving you, what will the Lord think of me?" She said, "What is the need of protecting me? I am very safe. Now Lord's life is in danger. You go." She was shouting. And then Lakshman, Lakshman actually said, "This is the mentality." He said, "It's the mentality of all women," he was telling. "You are not able to estimate the situation properly. Just see." But he said, "You will repent for this in future." And then he went. You see, women are by nature emotional. Prabhupada uses the word Saumya Bhavam. That word Saumya Bhavam comes in the Saumya Swabhavam. This word comes in the section of Draupadi. When Draupadi wants to forgive Ashwatthama. You see, generally, like in our temples also, if they catch a chappal chore, there are some 2-3 people who beat him up. So when they beat up, of course, for beating up they have kept some people. In Chaupati, I saw once, they had some people to, catch the chappal chores and beat up. So when I went there, they were telling me that, "Rajasham, you don't stand here, you go away," they were saying. I asked why, If you see, you will get sympathy for this person. And you will get unnecessary sympathy. But this fellow deserves good beating. So they were sending the brahmacharis away, "You go away, don't stand here, this is not for you." And some matajis are there telling matajis, "Go away, don't stand there. Because now we have to give a special puja, special treatment." Similarly, when Bhima was very determined to kill Ashwatthama, Bhima was just waiting for an instruction, immediately was ready to cut off the head. Can you imagine somebody cutting off the head? Brahmana cannot see cutting off it. Similarly, women also, they cannot see somebody's head cut off. They will faint on the spot if they see that. But here you find Yudhishthir and Draupadi on one side saying that Ashwatthama should not be killed. And there is Arjuna and Bhima on the other side. Arjuna and Krishna saying that Ashwatthama should be killed. Because that is the right course of action. Because he has done a very, very malicious act of killing the Pandava children, isn't it? So Krishna told Bhima, now you have to decide. You have to satisfy both the parties. How are you going to do that? Isn't it? That time you find Draupadi showing that Vama Svavam, soft nature. She told that, you know, I am already lamenting because my 5 children are dead, And I know I am a woman. I know the heart of another woman, Kripi, who is the mother of Ashwatthama. I know how much, if you kill him, she is going to lament as much as I am lamenting now. And I don't want to see her lamentation. So you better you leave him. You forgive him. And not only that, she said another thing. He is a Brahmana. How can he kill a Brahmana? It will become a Brahmahatya. You see, she could not see the fact that Ashwatthama was not acting as a Brahmana. Will a Brahmana kill 5 innocent children? Will a Brahmana be against the purpose of the Lord, Supreme Lord Krishna? And how can he be treated as a Brahmana? That way even Ravana is a Brahmana. He's a Brahma Rakshasa. Ravana. So, she could not see that. And because they let loose, after removing that jewel on his head, when they let Ashwatthama loose, what did he do? Again he sent Brahmastra to kill Parikshit, the last Shishu. Just see. The wicked people can never be changed. Just like Chanakya says, Chanakya is very strong with respect to the wicked mentality. He says, no matter how much water you throw in the buttocks and clean, again and again it keeps giving out stool. He says, this is Chanakya's example. He says, no matter hundreds of, every day one cleans it, again and again it gives out the same dirty thing. Similarly, wicked people can never be changed. This is one example he gives. Another example he gives is like the tail of a dog, The tail of a dog, if you put a pipe like this, the tail of a dog, After 12 years you remove the pipe, again go back like that. Cannot be, wicked people can never be changed, he says. But Vaishnava philosophy says, even a wicked person can be changed by the holy name, power of the holy name, like converting the bell metal into gold. Vaishnava philosophy says, even wicked people can be changed. But only by Vaishnava path, no other way. That's the only way. If Ashwatthama agrees to become a whole-hearted devotee, then there's a possibility of changing. Otherwise not. Wicked people are very difficult to change. So, but still you find that soft nature of Draupadi there. In the same manner you find Sita Mata also. She could not ascertain the situation. She became emotionally affected. She wasn't sure. But you find Balram is never bewildered. Lakshman is never bewildered. I have just taken 2 references from Krishna book. I'll show you here. How Balram is not bewildered. You see, when Krishna comes to see that the Kaliya, is very, very poisonous, and even the poisonous air coming out of his mouth is killing all the birds in the sky and they are falling into the Yamuna. And Krishna could see that. And even the coward boys, when they were going to Yamuna and they were drinking the waters, they also fell unconscious. Some of them died also, And when Krishna, simply by his glance, he woke them all up easily. And then Krishna decided, this ferocious snake is in the water, I'm going to kill him. So he climbed up on the top of a tree and he walked over the tree and got close to Yamuna and tightening his waist belt and he jumped into the waters. And first Kaliya saw, here is a beautiful blue boy into my waters. And he, for a moment, he was stunned by his beauty. And he thought that this beauty is really worth seeing for a long time. But still his envy was not less. He was very vicious and venomous. And he decided to kill Krishna. And he started trying to bite him. And then trying to curl him within his coils. When he did that, then all the coward boys who had just become alive by Krishna's glance, they all got up. And they saw that our friend is in the coils of the great serpent Kaliya. And they were all weeping and crying and shouting, overwhelmed with great fear and grief that we are going to lose our friend. In the meantime, Yashoda got the news that Krishna has gone to the Yamuna side, but without Balaram, and there is some impending danger. There were many, many bad omens. Meteors are falling from the sky and all that, which are all signs of immediate danger. So when she got the news along with other covered women, she came running to the Yamuna side and searching footprints of Krishna. Where is Krishna? Which way he went? At last she arrived at the banks of Yamuna. And then she saw that sight of Krishna in the curls of Kaliya. And she started weeping torrents of tears like rivers. And she started running into Yamuna. She started entering into Yamuna and covered. Other people caught hold of her hand, and when they tried to restrain her, she fainted on the spot. And even the cows and calves, they were all weeping tears, all making sounds. They were all crying for Krishna, and they didn't know how to help Krishna get out of the Kaliya's grip. At that time, there was only one person. Just see here. See here. Because of the great attachment for Krishna, they thought, today Krishna is surely going to be vanquished. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan came out of the village to see Krishna. The assembly consisted of children, young and old men, women, animals and all living entities. All the affectionate covered boys and inhabitants of Vrindavan immediately became stunned out of fear. They had dedicated everything to Krishna, their lives, property, affection, activities. Everything was for Krishna. And when they saw him in that condition, they became overwhelmed with fear and fell down on the ground. All the cows, bulls and small calves became overwhelmed with grief. And they began to look at him with great anxiety. Out of fear, they could only cry in agony and stand erect on the bank, unable to help their beloved Krishna. And then you hear, when Mother Yashoda arrived, so here there is more. Although the residents of Vrindavan did not know much about Krishna, their love for him was beyond comparison. As soon as they saw Krishna in the river Yamuna enveloped by the serpent Kaliya, and that all boys and cows were lamenting, they simply began to think of Krishna's friendship, his smiling face, his sweet words, and his dealings with them. Thinking of all this and believing that their Krishna was now within the clutch of Kaliya, they at once felt that three worlds had become vacant. Lord Chaitanya also has said that he was seeing the three worlds as vacant for want of Krishna. This is the highest stage of Krishna consciousness. When Mother Yashoda arrived, she wanted to enter the river Yamuna, and being checked, she fainted. Other friends who were equally aggrieved were shedding tears like torrents of rains or waves of the river. But in order to bring Mother Yashoda to consciousness, they began to speak loudly about the transcendental pastime of Krishna. Mother Yashoda still remained still, as if dead, because her consciousness was concentrated on the face of Krishna. Nanda and all others who dedicated everything, including their lives, to Krishna were ready to enter the waters of Yamuna. But Lord Balaram checked them because he was in perfect knowledge that there was no danger. For 2 hours Krishna remained like an ordinary child gripped in the coils of Kaliya. But when he saw all the inhabitants of Gokul, including his mother, father, gopis, boys, cows, everyone was at the point of death, then they had no other shelter for salvation from imminent death. Then Krishna immediately freed himself. So here it is said, while all this was happening, Balaram, who is the master of all knowledge, stood there simply smiling. He knew how powerful his younger brother Krishna was, and that there was no cause for anxiety when Krishna was fighting with an ordinary serpent of the material world. He did not therefore personally take any part in their concern. Balaram did not take any part in their concern. He was just laughing. So acharyas also have given a commentary. So in one of the commentaries, one acharya says, when Balaram was watching Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, he was laughing and saying, just see, when Krishna is lying on me, when I am Anantashesh, he is very sober. But right now he is playing with this serpent so much which he has never played with me. He was telling like that. So Balaram is always knowledgeable about the turn of events that take place. There is another example where, you know, all the covered boys and cows are stolen by Brahma and kept in the gufa, you know. At that time, on that day Balaram didn't go. Why? It was Balaram's birthday. You know? So he remained at home to give in charity cows and calves to Brahmanas. So all the covered boys along with Krishna had gone and Krishna returned home empty. Practically there was no one with him. And then Krishna thought, what will happen to all the mothers and fathers of the covered boys? And the cows are going to weep. So Krishna thought, instead of going home barehanded, let me expand as those cows and calves. And then Krishna expanded as those calves and the covered boys. And then he returned home. And Krishna expanded so precisely that nobody could guess. Imagine if all of you in this hall, you know, everyone is stolen by Brahma, kept in some gufa. And then, you know, Kunjibari expands as all of us, you know, this way. You know, you have to have exactly the, you know, nose, the type of nose you have, type of eyes you have. Somebody should look like strong like Padmapuri Prabhu. Somebody should look, you know, skinny like somebody else, isn't it? That kind of expansion is not very easy, right? Precisely. Huh? Eyes, the nose, the ears and the form and the height and the weight and the everything. Exactly Krishna expanded like that. Including the dress also. Huh? Same type of dress, whatever kundal they were wearing, turban they were wearing, everything. No difference. Huh? Exactly. If somebody would see, nobody would know that Krishna has expanded. Krishna had expanded like that. You know. And then he returned home with the calves and covered boys. And somehow or other, all the Vijabhasis felt that their love for their sons was increasing. The mothers are feeding their children milk. But they were feeling that, you know, they were feeling some extra love. In Vrindavan it is said, the mothers loved Krishna more than their own child also. Same way the calves also. Cows loved Lord Krishna more than their calves. But now they felt the similar type of love for their own son. And they were wondering how. It is said almost a year passed. And after a year, almost a year passed, some 15 days I think, before the 1 year completion, you know. In the top of Govardhan, the covered men were herding the cows. And below the Govardhan Parva, the calves were being herded by the covered boys. Small boys were herding the calves. These are not very small calves. See, tiny calves need milk. These are grown-up calves. Bigger calves, which eat grass already. But suddenly on that day, the covered men found the cows in the top of the mountain. They started running down the Govardhan Parvat. Although there were thorny twigs, you know, they didn't mind the pain. Thorny twigs. They were running as if they had only two legs. In the front two legs combined and back two legs combined and the, you know, they were running very, very fast. You've seen cows running sometimes, as if they have only two legs instead of four legs. They were running very fastly down and they went to those bigger calves and started, you know, licking them with their tongue and started feeding them milk. And the covered men at a distance in the top, they were all very angry. Taking a stick in their hand, they came running. They thought the cows will drink away all the milk. Bigger calves, they don't need milk. Huh? Why they're giving milk, they were thinking. But by the time they came down, they saw the covered boys. Who are also expansions of Krishna. Then immediately their hearts softened and they started picking up the covered boys in their hands and they started caressing them, smelling their head, you know. So Balaramji was watching this sight and he said, what is this going on here? Huh? Why are the parents showing extra affection to their children? You see what he is saying. When Balaram saw this extraordinary exchange of affection between cows and their calves and between the fathers and their children, when neither the calves nor the children needed so much care. You see, in this world, you will find parents feel a great affection for their children. Every movement of the child makes such an impact on the parents' minds. You have seen that? When the child, you know, even before the child gets up in the morning, he's already snoring and sleeping, you know. Still all the people will be surrounding, especially when a child is newborn. You have seen that? When the child is pinkish, a rosy child, you know. He's just 2 months or 3 months old. And the parents and the brothers and sisters, everyone will be surrounding and trying to cajole the child to get up so that, you know, they can have some fun with the child. Everyone will want to carry the child on their lap, you know. Everyone will be, you know, showing all kinds of signs and speaking different tones to please the child. You know. So you can see that type of very strong attachment develops between the living beings in this world, and that arises from illusion. Because we have such a attachment to Krishna, when that attachment to Krishna is forgotten, then we show the attachment to the living beings in this world, you know, child. Same way, attachment between husband and wife, attachment between children and the parents also. You know. We see and our brothers and brothers, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, sisters and sisters, we see these attachments. These are all arising from illusion. So here, Balaram is saying that here they are showing extra affection. He began to wonder why this extraordinary thing has happened. He was astonished to see all the residents of Vrindavan so affectionate for their own children, exactly as they had been for Krishna. Similarly, the cows had grown affectionate for their calves as much as for Krishna. Balaram therefore concluded that the extraordinary show of affection was something mystical, either performed by the demigods or by some powerful man. Otherwise, how could this wonderful change take place? He concluded that this mystical change must have been caused by Krishna, whom Balaram considered his worshipable personality of Godhead. He thought it was arranged by Krishna, and even I could not check its mystic power. Thus, Balaram understood that all those boys and cows were only expansions of Krishna. He understood. And Balaram inquired from Krishna about the actual situation. My dear Krishna, in the beginning I thought that all these cows, calves and covered boys were either great sages and saintly persons or demigods. But at present it appears that they are actually your expansions. They are all you. You yourself are playing as the calves and cows and boys. What is the mystery of the situation? Where have those other calves and cows and boys gone? And why are you expanding yourself as the cows, calves and boys? Kindly tell me, what is the cause? At the request of Balaram, Krishna briefly explained the whole situation. How the calves and boys were stolen by Brahma and how he was concealing the incident by expanding himself. You see? So in this way, we find that Balaram can see what others cannot see. Same is true for the spiritual master also. Spiritual master can see what the disciple cannot see. As disciples, we can see in our lives, all of us in our life, we have a situation of awakening up to a certain level of Maya, beyond which Maya puts sand in our eyes. And then we become bewildered. Just like, for example, lust can cover our eyes. Anger can cover our eyes. Greed can cover our eyes. We can see that. All these anarthas, beyond a certain limit. We all have a limit, beyond which we become illusioned. And we don't know what is true, what is not, what is right, what is wrong, what is good for me, what is hitakarak, what is hanikarak. We don't know those things. Materialistic people, needless to say, they spend their money even using credit cards and completely get wound up for the next 20, 25 years on loans and everything. Foolishly, and they suffer like anything, foolishly. Just like a silkworm emitting some liquid out of his mouth, and that very same liquid becomes a covering that envelops him, and then the worm cannot come out. He gets stuck inside. Similarly, people get stuck inside because of illusion. But even after becoming devotees, still we are not completely free from such illusion. As we were telling earlier about the demons in Vrindavan Leela. Similarly, even after becoming devotees, sometimes illusion strikes us. We can become victims to illusion. Like sometimes a person says, the devotee can become greedy. Maybe we should have a big house, you know, we should spend about 60 lakhs or 80 lakhs. Get a very big house because we want devotees to come and preach, you know. We want to expand Krishna consciousness. So they have to know whether I have the capacity to buy a house or I have to take a big loan to buy such a house. Sometimes the mind also gives justification. Mind says, you know, after all we are buying the house for propagating Krishna consciousness, you know. And then they buy a house and then they have no time. They have to repay the loan and they are working 16 hours a day. 16 hours, 17 hours they are working hard. and they hardly are able to complete their mala, chanting their rounds and everything. So in this way, even a devotee can get enveloped by greed, or one can become afflicted by lust. Like lust is not only attraction of man and woman, or woman and woman for man, man for woman. Lust is also enjoying mentality, exploiting mentality is also called as lust. Like for example, we have joined this society to become Krishna conscious. We have joined this society to awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. But sometimes it is seen that people come to the temple for becoming Krishna conscious and they become attracted to man-woman relationship. Man becomes attracted to woman, woman becomes attracted to man. Instead of becoming attracted to Radha and Krishna, they become attracted to each other in illusion. Although they say, I want to become devotee. So in this way, we can see that our lower natures, even after becoming devotees, do not leave us very easily. We become blinded by lust, blinded by greed, blinded by anger. Even while dealing with devotees, we become angry. Hari bol, Prabhuji. I'm telling you, you don't hear me, Hari bol. You become angry like that. Hari bol is supposed to be told very sweetly. Hari bol. Isn't it? Hari bol is not to be shouted. So, you can see that we become angry, we become lusty, we become greedy even after becoming devotees, because still the demoniac mentality is not gone. It is there. But Guru is beyond all this. Guru is a Balaram's power. It gives Guru that Shakti. Because this Guru Tattva. And Guru can see the anartha in our heart also. He can clearly pinpoint and say, see, you are stuck up here, my dear child. You cannot go ahead because you are stuck up here. Understand this problem. So, when we counsel other people, when we grow in Krishna consciousness, we should be able to help the people by pinpointing why are they stuck up. Just like sometimes you see in the deity room, you are cleaning the pots and everything and water gets stuck up. And then you find, water level keeps rising, and then nothing is going down. Why? Because some ghee has gone into the pathway and it got stuck somewhere in the midway. Or something has gone in, Then you have this thing, you put that and you remove all the kachara, everything, and then the water starts going out. It got sucking in. So, that stuck up thing, what is putting an obstacle, that should be removed. Similarly, the disciples who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they get stuck up in many things because of karma mishra, jnana mishra, yoga mishra, nature. They get stuck up. Some people get stuck up in rituals and rites too much. Some people get stuck up in volumes and volumes of reading books and loading their head with knowledge but with no practical realization. Some people get stuck up in yoga, which means they are attracted to mystic powers in practicing. Now we may say, I have no attraction for mystic powers, we may say. Because we know that I can't do all those things to get those powers. But we are attracted to material objects of the world. Whatever is the result of mystic power, that result we are attracted to. Getting some attractive things of the world, material desires. Similarly, we may also become attracted to rituals and rites more than Krishna consciousness. Riti Rivaj. In doing the rituals and rites more than practicing Krishna consciousness. Like one devotee was coming and asking me, Prabhuji, whole world is celebrating Ganapati Papa Moriya, can we also do, And I was telling, no, Ganapati is a servant of Krishna. If you worship Krishna, all demigods are already taken care. But he said, no, Prabhuji, I read somewhere in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that you should worship Ganapati, I said, okay, you can worship Ganapati as a servant of Krishna, servant of Narsingadev, can worship. But you don't have to go in procession saying Ganapati Bappa Moriya. You don't have to do that. It's not required. Because otherwise, then you become a demigod follower. You have to always see all the demigods in relation to Krishna. So some people become more oriented towards such peripheral things, superficial things. And they leave the core Krishna consciousness. They don't capture that. Like sometimes, people invite us. We want to call you to our house. A couple of days ago, I had gone to your house. I was stunned when I went to that hall. One of our devotees took me there. Because right in the front big hall, they have a huge room and they have kept Radha and Krishna in the center. Such a beautiful deity is there. And I told those people, you are all very fortunate. In the center of your house, you have made such a huge altar and you have Radha and Krishna and everything. So you all chant Hare Krishna every day? I asked them. And the elderly man in the family said, हम सब लोग अपने अपने श्रद्धा के अनुसार कुछ ना कुछ करते हैं. नहीं बस चलें, कुछ लोगों को श्रद्धा है एक देवता के ऊपर, अपने अपने देवता की फोटो उधर आकर रख लेते हैं और करके चले जाते हैं. एंड आई सेड, व्हाट अबाउट दिस राधा कृष्णा? ही सेड, दिस कम्स इन अवर यू नो फैमिली वंश. वी हैव लड्डू गोपाल एंड राधा कृष्णा, सो वी आर कीपिंग दैम, नॉट नेसेसरी दैट वी हैव टू वर्शिप दैम. आई वाज शॉक्ड रियली. देन आई सॉ व्हेन आई वेंट देयर, दे ब्रॉट अ बिग शॉल, दे पुट अ बिग शॉल अराउंड मी. Must be a very, very costly shawl, you know. And they had made a whole huge garland made of elaichi, you know. So much of elaichi and some gold, you know, coated things, and then again some elaichi and, you know, ball and everything. It's a huge garland, you know. They put a big garland and they put kumkum, they put chandan, they put some akshada, you know, some rice, everything, and this thing they kept, you know. And husband, wife, children, all of them are coming and doing namaskar and everything. It was a big ritual. This went on for a pretty long time for them to complete all this. They said, it's our family tradition, we have to do all this. Anyway, after that I started speaking, I was telling them about, Trishul of Durga Devi. What does it represent? So I was speaking to them on that. And then how, by taking shelter of Krishna, you can become free from the Trishul of Durga. I was speaking to them. So when I started speaking, some of them thought that now, you know, Swamiji has completed the kirtan. After the kirtan, he started speaking. Some of them were going here and going there, because they thought pravachan is not very important. Actually, that's the most important part, you know. So many people think the rituals are more important than the lecture. Have you all observed in homes, many homes, you know, you go to a home, they will do this ritriwaj, everything very well. You do kirtan also, they will sit through. When you begin the lecture, they will say, now we will go into the kitchen, or we will, go and do something else. They think it's not for us. Actually, this ritualistic tendency is there in America also. In America also, when Prabhupada is giving lectures, when Prabhupada would do Hare Krishna Kirtan, all the hippies would participate. As soon as you would begin Kirtan, they would stand up. And Prabhupada would ask, where are you standing? Sit down. And some of them would sit down, some of them would go away, you know. Isn't it? So, this is Karma Mishra. There is Jnana Mishra. Jnana Mishra means Indians have this problem of Jnana Mishra. Jnana means intellectually studying the scriptures without capturing the substance of bhakti. Only, you appreciate the ras, chand, alankar. Many people even quote, dohe, they quote, chako, rakai, saanya. You know that? What is that? You know that? Marana sakkai koi, balana banka agarasakai, isn't it? You know this? Taka taka dugudu, they'll quote all that, verses. But you ask them, what are you practicing? In your life, they won't practice anything. They have a lot of panditya. They have, they fathom all the knowledge when it comes to practicing that genuine devotion that is greatly lacking. So these are all anarthas in the heart of a disciple. Like sometimes we are attracted to Sanskrit poetry and the flow of Sanskrit, ras, chand, alankar and all that. It's not bad. It should be combined with devotion in the heart. Devotion in the heart is the essential commodity. It should be combined along with that. So, Karma Mishra, Jnana Mishra, Yoga Mishra. In the Sri Sampradaya there are many Ashtanga Yogis who are also great Vaishnavas, But there is a danger in that. Sometimes in Ashtanga Yoga one goes very deep and one may forget the devotional element. Ishwara Pranidhani is there, which is surrender to Krishna. But sometimes people go into the Siddhis, getting Siddhis and powers and all that, forget. So in this way, we may, our heart may be afflicted by lust, greed, pride, anger and all that. We may ourselves not know it. Many times we are not able to know it. But superiors, the spiritual master, he ended with the Balaram Shakti. And he can pinpoint mercifully if one has the type of surrender. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that a devotee should unpretentiously cry to Krishna while chanting the holy names, and pray to Krishna and Balaram, beg them, please expose the anarthas in my heart in front of me. I am not even able to see them. But I know that I am suffering. We are suffering, but we don't know any upay. What is that song? Hari Hari, we sing, no? Vifale janam gavainu. That song we sing, you know. Samsara vishanale devanishiya jwale judai te na koyo upay. So here Natana is singing that although my heart is burning with the worldly desires, I have no upay. I have no way. I have no way out to get out of this problem, he's saying. So in the same manner, we can see that I have some problem which is causing me suffering, but I don't know the solution. So in the same way, one should pray. And then he says, by the empowerment of Balaram, one's anarthas will be exposed. And one will also get the necessary mercy and strength, by which one will gain the willpower to remove those anarthas. You see, removing the anarthas is a very difficult thing because we need tremendous willpower for that. Just like sometimes when you wash a cloth, you know, some ink always remains, you've seen? Ink remains in the shirt. Even with, you know, super rin, it doesn't go away. Even with surf, it doesn't go away. Yeah? You have to bring some petrol or kerosene or diesel or something. You know, you have to put and you have to brush it very, very strongly. You have to really take a lot of trouble to remove that. Similarly, some small anarthas may go away from us. We may say that I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't eat meat. You may give up them very easily. But anarthas like pride or lust, greed, all these things are deep-rooted and they don't go away very easily. Only by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas they can be removed. So Bhaskaranath Thakur says that on this auspicious day one can pray to Balaram. I got a description of Balaram which you can hear attentively, how Balaram looks like. Powerful Lord Balaram is 16 years old, full of lustre of youth and has a fair complexion, the color of crystal. Balaram wears blue garments and a garland of forest flowers. Baladeva's handsome hair is tied in a graceful top knot. Splendid earrings adorn Balaram's ears. Sri Baladeva's neck is splendidly decorated with garlands of flowers and strings of jewels. Splendid bracelets and armlets ornament Dauji's graceful and very strong arms. Balarama's feet are decorated with splendidly jeweled anklets. Sri Baladeva is Krishna's dearest friend. He is a great reservoir of nectar, nectarian mellows of many kinds of transcendental pastimes. Lord Balaram's beauty is enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. Balaram's face is decorated with tilaka made from musk. And Balaram's broad chest is ornamented with gunja, small red, black and white berries native to Vrindavan. Sri Baladeva's voice is very grave and his arms are very long, touching his thighs. Sri Balaram ji ki. In this way, very beautifully Balaram's form is described in that book, Appreciating Sri Vrindavan Dham. So Balaram disappears from this world in a very strange way. From Balaram's mouth appears a white, huge snake. And Balaram boards the snake and ascends to the spiritual world. That's how Balaram disappears from this world back home, back to Goloka Vrindavan. So Balaram is always in the role of a servitor to Krishna. Whether he appears as Lakshman assisting Rama, or he appears as Ananta assisting Vishnu. If you read in the Ramayana, you will find the determination of Lakshman in protecting Lord Ram. So he always wants to protect Lord Rama. Like you find Guha is telling Lakshman, my dear Lakshman, you Ram, Sita, you all go to sleep. And I will, you know, I will arrange for everything else. But he refuses. He He says, whole night I have to be awake. If Lord Rama is sleeping, I can't sleep. And the same thing he does in Panchavati also. In Panchavati you will find, when Sita and Rama are sleeping in the Panchavati, Parnakutir, you know, Balaram is taking a bow and arrow in his hand and going around the cottage, round and round. Whole night he is awake. He never goes to sleep. And you have to remember that he left his wife Urmila at home. He didn't carry her with him. And all those 14 years in the forest, he was serving Lord Ram. Now somebody may say, when Lord Ram went to forest, you know, Sita is arguing on the part of Dharma, that wife should follow the husband, correct? So Lord Ram allowed Sita to come. But why Lakshmana did not take his wife? Lakshmana didn't take Urmila, he left her behind. Because he knew that if I am taking my wife, then I will worry about my comforts and about my conveniences. So he left her behind, he sacrificed being with his wife for sake of serving Ram, you can see that. And as Ananta Sheshi is just becoming a bed for Lord Ram, and as Nityananda, he is becoming an assistant to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fulfilling his mission. So the first two preachers in our mission are Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, whom Lord Chaitanya sent out for preaching and propagating, you will see. So in this way, Balaram Tattva itself is such a Tattva that it explains that he becomes, like, you know, sometimes people tell this pastime that, you know, as Lakshman, he was ordered by Ram many things. Like, you know, Lord Ram told him that, you know, create a fire for Mother Sita to enter. It was very, very painful for Lakshman to do that. But he had to obey. He couldn't say anything. Similarly, Lakshman was protesting to Lord Ram that you should not go to forest. Why are you hearing the, you know, words of this evil-minded Kaikeyi? I will finish off Bharata, I will kill him. And I will, you know, he said, you know, you don't have to go to forest. He was very strong. But Lord Rama said, no, I have to go. I have to follow the order of the father. And then Lakshman had to obey, you know. And then later on, even more painful thing than this is, you know, Lord Ram told him that, you know, you have to take Mother Sita to the forest and leave her and come. So that was extremely painful. He said, what has she done? She is completely pure. And she has proved her purity by entering into the fire also. Then why do you want to banish her from the kingdom? And Ram said, you are my younger brother, you should just obey. And then Lakshman decided, the next time when my Lord appears as Krishna, I will appear as Balaram. That time I will control you. Now you are controlling me, that time I will control you. Many people tell this pastime. So of course he appears as, it's an eternal Nitya Leela. It keeps going on again and again like this. So, of course, as Balaram is controlling Krishna to in some respect, we can say that. But still, he is acting in the capacity of a servant of Krishna. Although he is the elder brother of Krishna, he is acting as like a mother, or as an Anangamanjari, or as a friend, or as a servant. His goal is to please Krishna. That is his only goal. To see that Krishna is joyful. So, from the life of Balaram, we learned so many pastimes. But personalities like Krishna or Balaram or the Acharyas, they are imperishable personalities. They exist for all time to come. Right now, all this katha we are speaking about Balaram, Balaramji is hearing all this. So, on the day of their appearance, they have an extra soft heart. You all have experience of this. On your birthday, your heart is little more soft. Experience? And all the people are coming and giving you greeting cards, you know. Somebody is giving you a gift and your heart becomes more and more softer. And even if something happens on the day of your birthday, you just ignore it. You know, you don't shout at anyone. Correct? You give up your anger and you become very softly disposed with everyone. In the same manner, on the day of Lord's appearance, Acharya's appearance, they are present very much and they are extremely benevolent. And they are in a mood to give, distribute mercy. Because Vedic culture means giving. So today is a very auspicious day when we can ask Balaram for these benedictions. That you are the Adi Guru and the original spiritual master who is supplying the intelligence to all the spiritual masters to remain aloof from Maya and be sheltered in Krishna. Please give me the Shakti to also lead a pure life with pure consciousness, unadulterated consciousness, and also become an instrument so that I will be able to serve others by giving the same wisdom to others. So we can pray. We can also pray to Balaram for the for getting rid of the Hridaya Daurbalyam or weakness of heart, which causes us to become weak in the face of Maya, in front of Maya. We are all fallible living beings. We become subjected to attachment, hatred, envy and anger and such kind of lower natures. So we can pray to Balaram that please kindly relieve my heart of this weakness of heart and give me the strength by which I will never fall victim to these agents of illusion. We can pray that. We can also pray to Balaram just as you destroy the demons very powerfully and you delight in doing so. You can also destroy the demons in my heart which are already residing. We can pray to Balaram that Balaram also means one who gives pleasure to his devotees. Like he says, no, that you are a Sukhi and I am a Dukhi. What is that song he says? Nitai Bole, what is that? Kripa Bala Kana Karo, Ame Bada Dukhi. I am always a Dukhi. Why? Because devotees have deprived me of sense gratification. Guru has ordered me not to enjoy sense gratification, so I am a Bada Dukhi. Isn't it? And you are a Bada Sukhi. Why? Because you are delighting in transcendental platform. And I am a Bada Dukhi. Why? Because I try to delight in material platform, and when sense gratification is deprived, then I cry. So you nourish my heart with transcendental consciousness, by which I will also delight in Krishna consciousness. We can pray like that. So we can pray all these wonderful prayers for Lord Balaram. And if you read Krishna book, there are innumerable pastimes, Krishna Balaram's activities in their childhood, in their boyhood. I spoke only a small fraction of it. Many, many more, very interestingly, very delightful pastimes, which will increase our remembrance of Balaramji. So we will sing these few lines which you have written here, which talks about the Balaram's appearance.
Vahasiva pushi vishadeva sanam jaladabham lahati bhiti militayamunabham Keshavadrita haladara rupa Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare. Ahasiva pushi vishadevasanam jaladabham Vahasi vapushi vishadevasanam jaladabham halahati bhiti milita yamunabham Keshavadrita haladara rupa Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Halahati bhiti milita yamunabham Keshavadrita Keshavadrita haladara rupa Jaya Jagadish Hare Jaya Jagadish Hare Jaya Jagadish Hare Keshavadrita haladara rupa Jaya Jagadish Hare Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Kunja Vihari, Radha Kunja Vihari Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Gurudev, 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 Gurudev.
Krishna Balaram ki, Balaram Jayanti Mahamahotsav ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Gaur.
Thank you very much.